bustle and the chase and the paying and the giving and the gifts and the meetings and the eatings and the, right? Get tired of that part. And I was thinking about how this month went by. December was, it was so chaotic for me. We had play practice every night. Something was going on. We were singing or visiting or doing or meeting somewhere and going somewhere. And it just seemed like, you know, everything we did. And all of a sudden, like, maybe during this week, everything's kind of slowed down a little bit in some ways. I started reading, and God gave me this message, and it's still about Christmas. And I was like, that's pretty cool. So anyway, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Y'all pray for me. My voice has been going in and out. We preached on Friday, and man, it just went totally out for a little bit, but it came back. Luke chapter 2. Scott went with me on Thursday, and we preached over at the camp, and he sang. He did an amazing job. We appreciate him going with us and doing that. Did I give y'all enough time to find Luke chapter 2, verse 8? If not, you can have an altar call. All right. Are y'all ready? Y'all okay? Everybody good? Sunday night? Relax. We'll be all right. Everybody's going to be okay? Man, I'm telling you, this word helped me. It started out as one message, turned into two. Amen. I don't even know what to title it. I would title it at first, where's that piece you're talking about? But maybe it turns into something else. Let's look at it real quick. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Oh yeah, I left out a part. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I left out the main part. Jesus was born. God was born. God wrapped himself in flesh, made himself microscopic, came through the uterus of a woman, came out, birthed in flesh. Whew, glory. And there was no one there. Think of all the people that you would call if you were going to have a baby. Think of all the people that would probably be around even if you didn't know anybody. Doctors, nurses, somebody would be there. And if you had it in public, everybody would want to see. But God was born and he was all alone. And God went and looked for some people. And I was thinking to myself, man, who'd he go look for? He went and looked for shepherds. Shepherds. Let me tell you something. Shepherds were not allowed in the temple. Shepherds were not even taken as witnesses. If something went down and they seen it and they called a witness to say, this happened, guess what? A shepherd would not be counted as a viable witness. They stank. They were loners. They were like people. They didn't have very good social skills because most of their time was spent out in the wilderness with them and sheep. And man, God said, you know what? I need somebody. And I was wondering at first, I wonder if it's because he was a shepherd. He's got an affinity with shepherds, but he's a shepherd. In John, he said, I am the shepherd. But I took liberty and I went to 1 Peter 2 and 25, and I like what he says here about it. He says, for you were a sheep going astray. That's us. Amen. But are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Amen. Glory, the shepherd and overseer. Amen. That's all a shepherd is an overseer. Somebody who's been put watch over something that can't control itself. And I was just thinking, I mean, I'm kind of radical when I look at the Bible. I was just thinking, God was like, you know, the only people that'll probably be awake right now and watching, shepherds. Shepherds come alive at night. Amen. The shepherd probably napped during the day and kind of took a break during the day, but at nighttime, it's his time. When the sheep are most vulnerable, when they're most at danger, He's got to be awake. And all of a sudden God says, I know some people. They're not dressed very well. They don't smell good. But they're watching. They're watching. They're awake. They're available. Amen. They're available. They're available. They're available. Amen. A lot of times in ministry, we think it's something big, something huge, something. It's our gift, it's our talent, it's our ability, it's how smart we are, how talented we are. No, a lot of times are we going to show up? Are we going to say, God, here I am? I'm probably not even qualified, probably don't even know what you really are trying to do in most of it, but God, I'm here. Everybody else is sleeping. Nobody else had room. But there were some shepherds who were awake. And God said, since you're awake, I'll just show out in you. None of your qualifications match up to what I need. Matter of fact, you're bad witnesses. We've seen the whole thing. You don't count. Don't matter. Still seen it. Amen? We heard. Don't matter. Amen? They can't run to the temple. God, thank God. Amen? They can't. Never mind. Y'all get that later. They couldn't run to the temple. Amen? Thank God. Too many people are telling it in the temple. We need somebody to tell it in the streets. We need somebody else to tell it to other shepherds. So people who didn't see it. Amen? I love this. Watch this. And the shepherds of the and there were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Watch this. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The Shekinah glory of God. That's the glory of the Lord. Guys, think. I know it's hard to comprehend. I can comprehend it a little bit better now. But like, have you ever been outside at night when there's no lights? Listen, shepherds didn't stay out, and they didn't have a street light that they parked their sheep under at night. They didn't. They were in, it's pitch dark. You know what I mean? If there's no moonlight, it's like, there's no, could you just imagine, just stay with me real quick. Could you imagine being a shepherd, and you're laying there, and you've worked, got your sheep all up under the, you know, you've brushed them in, you've hedged them in, and you're laying down. I mean, just barely, and all of a sudden you just kind of lay down there in the front of the gate because you're the main opening, you're the doorway, and all of a sudden you hear that low growl. And I hate to tell you this, they didn't make no AK-47s back then, or AR-15s, or even any kind of, even a muzzle loader. You had a staff and a club. Oh, gosh, y'all are so strong and powerful. Dude, could you imagine what that would sound like? And you're just sitting there going, I wonder if, you know, if some of them sheep were acting up that day, you'd think, man, maybe I could just take you out there and just kind of make you an offering. Yeah, no, I'm just saying. But I'm talking about in the pitch dark, in the word, I mean, in the backside of the wilderness, and all of a sudden the Shekinah glory. I'm talking God lights up the whole desert, and an angel steps out of eternity into reality, your reality. Man. I mean, all of a sudden, an archangel standing there in the glory of the Lord, and you're not prepared. What are you doing here? Amen? What are you doing here? Why are you here for us? You're awake. You're available. We see. I need you. Amen? This is, it gets good, right? What's this? And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, in which Christ is the Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, guys, this ain't something we read through this every year. And we make it sound, but all of a sudden, now there's a multitude who stepped. These are simple shepherd men on the backside of the desert doing a job that most people don't want to do. And all of a sudden, heaven, the spiritual realm, has stepped into the physical realm. I wanted to tell you tonight that the spiritual realm exists. Just as this physical does exist, the spiritual does exist. And sometimes we forget that. We forget there is an operation going on all the time that's just as real as what we see and feel every day. There are angels ascending and descending. Golly, I'm not an angel worshiper. But amen, God dispatches, He gives you an angel that protects. Man, I need one. Amen. I hope he sits on the corner of my vehicle. Amen. Amen. That's where I need him the most. Don't you amen me, Scott? But praise God, I'm just saying, ain't that neat? That, I mean, these guys are out there. You would have think, God, why didn't you go find somebody else? Why didn't you find some kings and queens? But golly bum, these guys are sitting out there, and all of a sudden the heavens opened up. Could you imagine what that was like? I mean, they're sitting there looking into the spiritual realm. I guarantee you those are some different shepherds today. Amen? There are some different shepherds there. Man, we've seen into eternity. There's nothing that can make us change our minds. This is amazing. That's how I feel every time. I really start remembering how God saved me and where He's brought me from and what He's brought me out of. And all of a sudden I remember, wait a minute, there is a spiritual world. Amen? One of these days we're going to step into the spiritual world and we're going to be like, whoa, I can't wait. I can't wait. Man, we'll think sometimes, oh man, this happened, that happened. And God's never going, wait, man, there is a whole eternity waiting for you. But man, I just thought it was neat that God peeled back eternity. And man, you're talking about the physical. These guys standing in utter darkness and they're standing there looking into beautiful light. And man, listen to the message. You know what I'm saying? And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Man, they got a three-part harmony going on. First of all, every place it starts this way, glory to God. Amen? Ain't that cool? Glory to God. Heaven's all about God. We should glorify Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit in everything we do. Amen? That should come off our lips first. Thank God. Amen? For the good and the bad. For everything in between. But I loved how the angel started. And it came to pass, the angels and suddenly there was an angel, and glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. So then peace on earth and goodwill towards men. What? Towards men. Not to all men. Toward all men. Amen? God has, I loved reading this. God's will towards you is good. I broke it all. God's will towards you is good. His will is for you to be saved and to be living for Him and to following Him. But guess what? It's just towards you. It doesn't mean you get it unless you receive it. Man, it's toward all men. Can I read that again? I just want to read it for my own purpose. Listen to this. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, good will toward men. God, it's God's will that every man be saved. Do you know that? A lot of people say, do you believe in this? Do you believe in that? Do you believe in Calvinism? Do you believe that there are predestined people and unpredestined people? Does that mean people are automatically in and some are automatically out? I do not. You know why? Because I believe it's God's will that all men be saved. I believe this. I believe God has a track for every man, woman, and child. He's got a track. That means if you accept the free gift of salvation and you get on that track, there you go. You're on the track. Amen? That predestined track. Amen? And if you don't get on that track, you're outside the will of God. And you're not on that track. If you don't like that doctrine, that's fine. But that's how I see it. because it's God's will. It drives me. It pushes me. It sends me down the road to preach the gospel to people. If I believed, just be honest, if I believed everybody was already set, I'd just stay at the house. Amen? All right, God figured it out. Don't worry about it. Amen? I believe in sowing. Amen? And when people accept what they accept, they get it. Amen? I believe it's all up to you. Amen? I believe you have an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that goodwill is toward you. And if you think about it, your whole life, it's been towards you your whole life. Man, I can remember the first few times Christ tried to get into my life, all the way up until the day I accepted Him. Amen? Man, He's persistent. I'm going to be honest. Well, I've been saying this as I've been preaching. I could get Him for harassment. Amen? He harassed me my whole life. He pursued me. Amen? And I told Him no. And I rejected Him. And I said, leave me alone. And guess what? He kept pursuing. And thank God, one day I realized what I was running from. Amen? And that is a wonderful thing. His love, His will was toward me the whole time. It made me ask the question, though, when I read this whole scripture, where is that peace? Where is that peace at? Amen? Because, hey, remember, peace to the good news, there's peace coming. Amen? Where's it at? Where's it at now? Well, I'll tell you this, to every person that believes, they got that peace. And in the portion of the world that believes, they got that peace. But the world is constantly in a fight and in turmoil and everything else. And I'll be honest with you, if you really think about it, there is really no safe, perfectly safe place on this planet. Not one. Amen? Not one safe place. There's wars and rumors of wars all over the place. But guess what? There's one war that rages on all the time. The greatest war is between you and God. It's between God and you. That's where the biggest war is. That's where the biggest war is raging, and that's where the peace is really needed. Amen? What we do is when we're born and when we start coming up, we automatically start war. There's a war going on, and we start fighting against God, and we try to take our own life and our own will and our own way. We want to be the captain of our own ship. I want to do it my way. I want to say it my way. And we're kind of like that prodigal son. Give me what's mine. I'm going to go live it my way. And there's a war between you and God. And God's always trying to get in. And He's always trying to arrest your soul. And you're always trying to do it your way. And then somewhere along the way, if you resign and ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life and ask Him for that peace, that peace comes in, and it's a changer. Amen? That peace comes in, and it does some things that nothing else in your life could do. When God came into my life, I thought, man, I'll do it my way. I'll do it the things I want to do. I'll say it the way I want to say it. But when God came in, he was somebody who said opposite of everything that I thought. Everything up to that point, he was opposite of that. He was completely, here's some things He did. Peace with God. He gave me peace with God. We finally settled between me and Him. Have you got that? Have you finally got that figured out? You're not wrestling with if He's God or if He done this or if He done that. Guess what? When you finally get that peace that passes all understanding with God, guess what? He is God. He is God, and whatever He does is fine. However He sees fit is fine. I love that picture of the two thieves on the cross. The one who figured it out and made peace with God looked over and he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You know what he was saying? I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know how you're going to figure it out. But I'm not going to wrestle with you anymore. I'm not going to argue about how you do it, when you do it, or where you do it. I just know that you're in charge and I need you to remember me when you come into your kingdom. Man, when you get that peace with God, it's amazing. It's amazing. I'm telling you right now, the whole world can come crashing down. Everything around you can be falling apart. And you know what? When it comes right down to the center, they say, how are you? You say, I'm good. I don't know how it's happening, but I've got a peace with God that I know I'm hurting. I know it seems like my world's falling apart, but right in the center of this, me and God are okay. Have you ever gotten that place where just like that when everything else seemed bad, but you and God? What I'm saying is when you've gotten them real bad storms, when you felt like everybody was gone, when people die or people are sick, things slow down. You ever notice that? Have you ever noticed it seems like everything going in slow motion? The rest of the world's wide open. But you know what? God draws closer and closer during those times. And it's hard to explain. I can't just put a time on it. But somewhere in the midst of that, God just steadies your whole heart, mind, and soul. There's a peace there. And it's amazing. And that peace with God. When you get it, it's amazing. Peace with your heart. Whew. Man, oh man. With all the anxiety, with all the fear, with all the worry, with all the stuff going on, I'm going to be honest with you. That is one of the most amazing things in the world, is a settling peace on the inside of who you are. Being all right with who you are, being all right. When it all comes down, you can find peace in Jesus Christ. But you got to fall back on who He is, not who you are. You've got to get in this book. You've got to talk to Him. And it wouldn't hurt you to worship Him. That means to listen to His kind of music. Amen? I'm not wearing you. I'm just being honest with you. Find you something that connects you and God in worship. Talk to Him. Read about Him. And I'll be honest with you. Man, your heart will begin to have a peace that passes all understanding. If you're listening to negative people, if you're listening to negative talk, if you're listening to the world, if you're listening to everybody else, I guarantee you that fear, that anxiety, that disturbance will just roar and roar and roar. But if you'll settle on God, you'll find a peace that nobody else can give you. Man, it's amazing that there's been so many times where all of a sudden, if you sit there and go, man, what am I doing? I haven't read, I haven't prayed, I'm not worshiping. And all you got to do is go find that place, read a little bit. My thing, and it's not the same for everybody, my thing is that book right there. That's how I talk to God. That's my love language between me and God. I get that book out, and I start reading. And when I read, then I start talking to Him. And then I start having that fellowship back and forth. And we're just worshiping and talking and having a good time. And the next thing you know, my heart's good. My problems start coming down. My anxiety starts coming down. My fear starts coming down. Guess what? The world starts disappearing. And you know what? I say this probably just about every time I do it. What was I thinking? What was I thinking? That I could find it in front of a TV set, that I could find it in front of a computer, that I could find it sitting and talking to somebody else. Could I find it, you know, just walking it out with me, just me walking around? No, it's going to be me talking to God, me listening to God, me reading about God, me worshiping God. Guess what? He does it. Man, that peace overwhelms you, and He reminds you, a lot of times He just reminds you that I'm here. That I am here. I've never left you and I've never forsaken you. Man, I tell you right now, the world, the devil, yourself, your flesh will tell you you're all going to be all alone. You ain't going to have this. You ain't going to have no money. You're going to be this. You're going to get what your mommy. You're going to get what your daddy. My gosh. Listen to God. Amen. I control every one of your breaths. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I have got control of every bit of who you are. You have never been alone since you've known me. My God, it don't take no time. It's there. And I'm not against doctors and I'm not against this, but praise God, spend some time with God and see if it doesn't work. Not just one day, just work out a regular time with me. Next thing you know, you'll be, and you, can I help you right here too? Can I just throw this in there for bonus? You'll get smarter. Do you know that? You'll get smarter. Because when you stay in the Bible and pray and talk to God, guess what? He'll start jumping out of you onto everybody else, and everybody will go, man, I didn't even know you knew that. And you'll be like, I didn't either. And it won't be you, it'll be him. And it rubs off on you. Peace with others. Anybody need that? Anybody need that? God give you peace with others. Man, I didn't even know this existed until Jesus came on the scene. And I'm going to give you a couple right here. First of all, the ones that really truly love you and are for you, this will settle it all. Because once you get saved, you won't think of yourself, you'll think of them. You'll love them the way God loved you. Amen. The first thought I had when I woke up this morning, are you loving your relatives the way Christ loved you? Whew. My first answer was no. Amen. I need to be. Amen. I need to be. I need to love them like Christ loved me. What does that mean? That doesn't mean you got to. That don't mean you got to give them and do stuff that's going to harm you and harm them. But it does mean you've got to do what Christ would do. He would do the right thing by you and by them. And you know what the right things are sometimes. Sometimes it is to be quiet. Sometimes it is to walk away. Sometimes it is to say a kind word. Sometimes it's to eat the bad ones. Man, that's pretty good preaching. I'm going to use that one, all right? Peace with others. But the ones that truly, truly, truly love you, once you get your heart settled with God, He will fix a lot of mended, a lot of burnt and broken bridges that could have never been mended without Him. Man, I thought, man, I have ruined every relationship that I'll ever need in my life. When God fixed that thing inside of me, my soul, He began to fix the things. I can still remember my family giving me stuff again. Never mind. Y'all might not get that. Anybody in here get, all right, good, good. When somebody would say, here's the keys. You can go to the store. All right. Here's some money. Oh, y'all weren't the same kind of people I was, sorry. It was cool. When I started getting my name back with those people, I'm telling you, I need help when you really needed help, right? Can I give you something better than that, though? Something sweeter than that? Some of y'all say amen on it. When you didn't have to have anything. Amen? When you said, no, I don't need nothing, thank you. Whew. You want one better? You want one better than that? Sometimes I revert back to before Preacher Kevin, right? One time when I just called my dad out of the blue, and he answered, he goes, hey, Kevin, what are you doing? It's nothing. I just want to call you and tell you I love you. And he waited. He waited. Well, do you need anything? Nope. I was just thinking about you today. And I was glad that God fixed me that I can call you and just tell you that I loved you. You know what I mean? That's the kind of stuff that you never realize. Peace with others. Amen? Peace with others. It's amazing how God does that. It's amazing. So when I seen these shepherds and I seen this encounter and they said, peace on earth and goodwill towards men, I say, where's that peace? It's there. It's there. But you gotta try to figure it out. Do you have it? Or are you still at war with God? Has a peace been negotiated? See, there's been a treaty. There's been a treaty that's been signed. See, you can be in a war and not know that there's been a peace treaty. Amen? There's still a war going on in the world today. Amen? But you can sign a peace treaty. They can get together and have an accord and sign it. And there'll be people out here fighting still not know it. Amen? Well, guess what I'm going to tell you? At Calvary, there was a peace accord signed. God became the propitiation for your sins. And I didn't mean to drop that big old word on you, but I like to say it every once in a while. I just keep myself going. Propitiation. Can I boil that down He became a meeting place. He became sin who knew no sin. That way you guys and me can come to the meeting table and accept the peace that's been given at Calvary. Amen? There's been a peace treaty signed, and all you have to do is say, God, be the Lord of my life. I give you my whole life. And what I want from you is that peace that passes all understanding. That peace and goodwill towards men, I'll take it. And he'll give it. And it'll reside. And some of you won't even know that you have. There's peace, grace, and mercy a lot of times that you don't even know you have. You'll get it when you need it. You'll get it when you need it. You ever seen somebody have an amazing peace or an amazing grace through a big storm? And you wonder, man, I wonder if I could stand through that. You will when you need it. You will if you have it. I hope you have it. That's the key. Do you have it? Let's all stand and pray.